What a wonderful salvation God has provided. He saves the immortal spirit from the penalty of sin, the human life from the power of sin, and the physical body from the presence of sin, and that is full salvation. The Holy Spirit moved the Apostle Paul to write the beautiful assurance chapter of the Bible, Romans chapter 8. In the midst of that chapter, he wrote of that coming day when all creation will be delivered from the bondage of corruption which came upon the fall of man. But then he wrote in verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." What a contribution that verse makes to our assurance of deliverance in Christ. For it assures us that our deliverance is unto full salvation. Praise God. Consider the proof of full salvation. Notice the reference to the first fruits of the Spirit. Now that speaks of the proof of salvation, for first fruits are just what the term sounds like. First fruits. It refers to the first fruit of the whole harvest of fruit which is to follow. The very first tomato which ripens on the vine, or the first peach which ripens on the tree, is the first fruit of that plant. It is the first and smaller part of what follows. Now the term first fruits of the Spirit does not mean the Spirit of God gives something to the child of God which can be called the first fruit. No. The Bible teaching is that the Holy Spirit Himself is the first fruit of salvation. Another word used in the Bible to convey the same idea is earnest. The earnest is the first or the down payment of that which is to come later in its fullness. As first fruit is taken from the farm situation, earnest is taken from the business world, but each means the same thing. The Holy Spirit comes to live in the human spirit of every person who trusts Jesus Christ as Savior. His presence is proof that one is saved. It is also proof that God will complete the work of redemption in the believer and deliver him into eternal glory with great joy. The Spirit is the first fruit, the earnest, and the seal of salvation. Consider secondly the desire for full salvation. For there is a longing within each Christian to experience the fullness of the blessing God has secured for him in Jesus Christ. Paul speaks of those who have received this first fruits of the Spirit in these words, "Even we ourselves groan within ourselves." Now remember that the term groan indicates an inward desire, a deep concern, a great longing. And the Christian is said to have such a deep desire for God to bring salvation to its glorious consummation. That does not mean that the forgiveness of sin is incomplete, or that we have to wait to eternity to discover whether we're saved. It rather means there is much more to our salvation than we have yet experienced, and we long to realize the fullness of our salvation in Christ. Paul recognized that there is something better ahead, and he wrote, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Again, he wrote, "We that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Yes, we all look forward to the better thing ahead which God has prepared for us in Jesus Christ. But then consider the delay of this full salvation. Waiting is the key word in Romans 8:23. We're waiting for something to happen which will complete all that God gave us when He accepted us in Jesus Christ. Now the Bible speaks of salvation in three tenses, past, present, and future. Reference is to salvation past when the Bible reports how God has saved us. Reference is to salvation present when the Bible speaks of those who are being saved. And reference is to salvation future when the Bible speaks of salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And yet, all three are the one and same salvation. The three tenses of salvation, past, present, and future, relate to the three aspects of human nature. The spirit of a person is redeemed for all eternity the moment he receives Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Now that's already past for the Christian. The life of a person is saved day by day as the Holy Spirit fills the life and the man lives honorably before God. That is present for the Christian. The body of man will be saved at the day of the resurrection, and that is future for the Christian. So we can say salvation for the spirit is past, for the soul is present and continuing, and for the body is future. Consider then the ultimate of full salvation. What is the end of God's saving work in behalf of sinners? It is the adoption, the redemption of our body. Remember that adoption means to bring into the legal status of sonship one who did not belong there by nature. The body is adopted in that it is mortal, finite, and fitted for earth, but in the resurrection, it will be made immortal, infinite, and fitted for heaven. It will be adopted in that it will be made suited for that which it did not deserve in its original state. Consider what the Bible says about the redemption of our body. First, the physical body came from the earth, made from dust and animated by the Spirit of God. Thus man became a living soul. Second, the physical body was consigned to return to the earth at death. And that's why we hasten to bury the body after death has occurred. And third, the physical body will be raised up from the earth even after it has been dissolved and re-inhabited by the human spirit. That's what we mean by resurrection. And fourth, it is the raising up of our mortal bodies in the likeness of Jesus Christ, which is called the redemption of the body in the Bible. Here's how the Bible describes that blessed event. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. At the moment of their resurrection, the fitted for earth body will be changed to be like the glorious body of Jesus Christ and thus be fitted for heaven. The change will be effected. It will be effected in such a way that that which is buried in corruption will be raised in incorruption. That which is buried in dishonor will be raised in glory. That which is buried in weakness will be raised in power. That which is buried a natural body will be raised a spiritual body. No wonder it's called the redemption of the body. Oh, behold, what a wonderful salvation God has provided. He saves the immortal spirit from the penalty of sin, the human life from the power of sin, and the physical body from the presence of sin. And that is full salvation. And that's what God offers you through Jesus Christ. Father, we're so encouraged to read in Holy Scripture that the spirit and soul and body belong to God, have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and indwelt by the personal presence of the Holy Spirit. We want to live worthy of the vocation to which you've called us, so enable us more and more to see the resources that you have provided and sanctify our lives to your glory until Jesus comes. And may our spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless for Jesus' sake. Amen.